Nick Ashew on the Fan. Just so you're aware, Metal, I hear absolutely nothing. I'm just going to say it live over the air, but we'll figure that out from there. So we'll talk to Dave Johnson in 30 minutes, voice of the Wizards. Anthony Davis meeting the team, talking to people in the front office, ownership, putting out a nice little Instagram video. I did my Westwood One show this morning. I didn't get a chance to vent about this. I'm just going to say this real quick because now this show is in D.C. versus all around the country where people may not be able to relate to this. I am so tired of winter. It is so windy and so cold outside. It's unbelievable. It's like we live in Antarctica. And I get it. It's way colder there. I don't need to hear that. But I think one thing we all can relate to is that nobody likes, even if you like winter, I mean, this is just the worst. You ever have a dream about something that's like kind of what like you're subconsciously thinking about? I had a dream that a tree fell on my house. So that's good. So I'm really excited to see it really windy outside right now. That's great. But anyway, that's how my brain works. I've been up since like 4 a.m. and I barely slept. So you're just going to have to deal with that today. I might get a little delirious. I've had a lot of coffee. And if you hear this, any all like, that means there's going to be more. So Anthony Davis finally speaking. It should shock nobody that there was a report if you missed it. I know yesterday obviously was, you know, yesterday was a different day in D.C. It was a sad day. We remembered Sonny Jurgensen. But there was a report from Chris Mannix that Anthony Davis didn't want to be with the Wizards, not really happy with the trade. Quote, it's not good for AD, who I've been told not loving this. Well, he did meet with the team. He did meet with ownership and the front office and everybody there, and then talked to David Aldridge, the David Aldridge. Kind of try to clear it up at least a little bit. He's like, the visit's been great. They definitely welcomed me with open arms. Spent some time with Ted and Zach. It's totally different from what they make it seem. I know it's like, oh, they have a stigma. They're not a good team. I haven't seen the practice facility yet, but the arena is top-notch. World-class for sure. Seen the chefs and how they take care of families. It's been great. It's just like, it's such a random statement. But what I do, what I do find interesting in all of that and what Anthony Davis told David Aldridge is that, you know, there has been a reputation for a long time that ownership cares more about hockey than the basketball team. It's just that simple. And I think things are starting to turn a little bit, and there's a couple reasons why. I mean, if we're being honest with ourselves, the Caps are trending down while the Wizards are trending up. It's just, listen, it's about eras, it's about roster construction, it's about age, it's about a lot of things. The Wizards are one of the youngest teams in the NBA, and they have got a really, really bright future. And I, look, I've said this before, I think this is a team that this organization should be proud of what they've started to construct, and this fan base is starting to smell something special, right? It's like you got that, you've had something in the oven for a long time, right? There's a nice, it's a nice roast in there. Let's picture it a roast, and it's been sitting, it's been cooking, low and slow, better in a smoker. So let's change it to a smoker real quick. I'm doing this on the fly, and it's in the smoker, and you smell that brisket. Yeah, this is better. Let's make it brisket. And the Wizards are a brisket, and you're starting to smell it. It's getting to that point where you know you got a little more time, then you're about to eat it. Yeah. Honestly, this is a young team that has a very, very bright future, and you know, the reports are right now they're considering more of a Trae Young extension over an Anthony Davis. And, you know, it's I would say this, and this goes back to the Chris Mannix report again. I'm telling you, I don't see an extension coming. I think they've opened that. They're open to that with Trae Young. I don't think they're open to that with Anthony Davis. Now, I know I talked to a couple people after the Trae Young trade, and from what I was told was kind of the same thing in terms of it's a wait and see with Trae Young. The Anthony Davis thing seems like it's a lot more up in the air around this team because you got to think, too, for one, if it's Anthony Davis, he's got a little more on his contract. He's also got a player option that's going to be $62 million that I can promise you he ain't going to turn down. But the difference is that Trae Young is 27. Anthony Davis is 33 in March. And if you're looking at Anthony Davis, $58 million in the 26-27 season, $63 million player option that will expire in 2028. Why would they even want to talk extension right now? What? Why? You don't need to. You see how much he plays first. And by the way, a guy, a big man with an injury history that's going to be, does the math carry the two, at least 35, if not 36, by the time the contract's up after the extension. Why would you talk extension? It doesn't make any sense. This is a young team that's going to want a little bit of a veteran leadership for the short term as the young guys grow. And then you let them fly. You let those wings flap after that. I would be shocked if Anthony Davis got an extension. And I think there's no chance. There's no chance that Anthony Davis gets an extension in the short term. But we're even talking, like, why would this team do that? It would go against everything that they're building here right now. Now, the difference is if you look at what's happened and what they've built, you can't be that young team forever, right? You've got to be more. You've got to be a fun team for a little bit. And the young team for a little bit. And then it's, okay, now it's time to get serious. And what we've at least learned right now is that the Wizards are looking to next year. So what's been the word that's been thrown around the NBA since the trade deadline, what, 36 hours ago? I don't know, whatever it is. I don't feel like doing the math. It's pre-agency, not free agency, pre-agency. And if you look around at a lot of teams that don't have winning records, that don't want to sacrifice their lottery odds this summer for a draft that's loaded, are still looking forward to next year. The Jazz, the Wizards, the Pacers, these are teams that don't move the needle necessarily right now in the NBA, but they're young, and in the Pacers' case, they're also their best players hurt, and Tyrese Halliburton, so they're just like, let's tank and let's try to get through forward here and, you know, go from there. But these teams also did make trades for veterans because they're thinking about next year. And at some point, you have to. At some point, you have to S or get off the pot, right? At some point, you actually have to then move to the next stage. You have to become a franchise that says, we've got goals beyond just being, ooh, that's young, fun, spunky team. Look at them. They're fun. And yeah, that's where the Wizards are now, and you can feel it. You can feel this groundswell with this team where there's a little bit of excitement around them again. And listen, rebuilds aren't fun, but rebuilds are necessary. And the one thing that this front office has done versus the past is they're leaning all the way in, and they're doing it right, and you're seeing the results. You're seeing the growth, because that's the most important thing. When you've got a young team, you've got to see the growth. You've got to see young players taking that next step, and Alex Sarr is the biggest one for me. Now, is there still a lot for a 20-year-old? Absolutely, but I mean, Keyshawn George, the same thing. Trey Johnson's a rookie, all that. But the difference is Alex Sarr from year one to year two is the biggest jump and difference, and again, Trey Young's a rookie, I get it, but when you look at where he was last year, kind of soft, looked a little lost, didn't have a ton of confidence, got tougher, stronger this summer, was with Team France, did all these things, and you realize, oh, there's something there. Now he's still wildly inefficient at times shooting, and then again, he's 20. But the key for a team that's this young, as the Wizards are, it has to be about what you're seeing over the next steps, over the next stages. Are you seeing that growth? Are you seeing players get better? And this front office is not going to allow, from what I've seen, again, this could change, but as of right now, they're not going to sacrifice the growth of the homegrown players if they continue to see that trajectory and the arrow pointing up. They're not going to sacrifice that for a win now, but they're still going to be in a spot where they know they have to be competitive. And right now, the expectations on this Wizards team are, everybody knows it, tank, get the number one overall pick, or two or three, or again, it's loaded, but top three is really where you want to be. And then next year is when the expectations start. Next year is when you're looking at them going, okay, now we got to talk at least play-in tournament. I mean, the floor for this Wizards team is play-in tournament next year. Because you'll at least have Trae Young out there, and Trae Young will be enough to get him to that point. He did it with the Hawks every year. They always, after they went to the Eastern Conference Finals that one year, they were always a team that was just barely in the play-in tournament. So he'll get him to that point. And then Anthony Davis, and who knows how many games he plays, if he's healthy enough and they get 60 out of him, that's great. If it's less, I mean, that's kind of the expectation you do still have. He does have an injury history. But they got a lot of other young guys, and you don't want to see Alex Sarr's development get sacrificed at all. And it's better to play him alongside another big, so it'll be interesting to see what Anthony Davis and Alex Sarr look like and all these guys. But, you know, the NBA is in a really, really weird spot right now, and the Wizards are in that final transition before the next step, as some of these other teams are, where it's all about tanking the rest of the way now, and then the offseason is about taking that next step. And let me tell you something. There are quotes out there from Eastern Conference executives, multiple, especially knowing how where the East is, where it's really wide open at the top, but there's some super bad teams at the bottom this year. Quote, it's going to be a brutal, ugly race. So many good players will be sitting out. It's going to be a story every single night. And it's true. This is the one thing. Look, the NBA can play this game that they're going to try and tank, or they're going to try to curb tanking, and they're going to smooth out the lottery out. They've already done that. Teams are still going to look to do it if the draft is loaded. This draft is loaded. Of course you're going to be looking to this draft. Of course you want to set yourself up for success. But here's the thing. It doesn't guarantee that. And for all this conversation about the NBA and tanking and, oh, man, these teams are... In the NFL, you're guaranteed the number one overall pick if you have the worst record in the league. In the NBA, it's harder and harder to get the number one overall pick. Look at last year. You can put a tinfoil hat on if you want, but the Mavs went from 11-1. In 2023, the Hawks went from 10-1. Difference in the draft, difference in those prospects, by far, Zachary Risichet versus Cooper Flagg, but it still exists. It's not just because you have a really bad record guarantees you very little now in the lottery. I mean, there are tiers here, but it's not what it used to be. So for all this conversation about like, well, you know, everybody's got to lose, so they're going to try to get the number one overall pick, it still doesn't guarantee everything. And you shouldn't want, like, it's never going to totally go away. This is what people don't understand. When you hear this about like tanking in the NBA, unless what? You give everybody all equal odds, but then what? Could you imagine if the Thunder, people are already scared that the Thunder might get the Clippers pick. Now the Clippers have kind of sold off a little bit because the Thunder own their pick. The Clippers fall out the rest of the way, the Thunder likely have their first round pick. The Thunder already young. They're four steps ahead of the Wizards rebuild in terms of how it's built. Obviously, you've got somebody from the Thunder front office. You see them doing the same thing. But that team's already stacked. They just won a title, and they could have a high lottery pick in a loaded draft. Could you imagine if the NBA decided, let's do away with the lottery altogether and it's a completely random selection? And then you see a team like the Lakers who have, I don't know, let's play it 2 years down the road and they change this and Luka and the Lakers finish with, you know, the seventh best record in the NBA. We'll just play out that scenario. And then they get the number one overall pick. The conspiracy theories would be through the roof. You think it's bad now? So there's always going to be some level of like the worst teams are going to have better odds at a number one overall pick. There's no other way to do this. Like there's only so much that you can do. It's going to be a reality. This is what happens when teams are bad and they want to get better. You have to go through the bottom out. You have to go through the sacrifice, right? It's like your friend that needs to lose a lot of weight and is like, this year I'm dropping 30 pounds. The suck is at the beginning. The rebuild is at the beginning. Going to the gym in January, dieting, cutting back on all of the sugary stuff that you're eating or the sodas or the beer or whatever it is that he needs to do. And then he's at the gym and he's sweating and it sucks and you don't see the results at first and it's just like, I don't want to be here anymore. Nope, got to keep doing it. Got to keep going. And then he shows back up in 4 months and you haven't seen him in a while and he's lost 30 pounds and you're going, whoa. It's the same thing as a rebuild in the NBA. It just looks different. Doesn't involve cutting out sugar if you don't want to. But it involves cutting out winning, right? That nice dopamine dump of sugar is the same thing as your team winning a basketball game. It's nice to see the Wizards win, but you know what's better? Seeing them win consistently. And the only way that you do that is doing what this is the true way. Unless you go out and just buy your team, and it's harder and harder to do that now, right? The trades and the super teams and all of that, free agency, and it just doesn't, the NBA has made it harder. To be able to build your team through youth and have those homegrown players grow together, build a consistency together, chemistry. They've all kind of grown within the organization, establishing that culture. And let's be honest, a little loyalty to the team too. Giannis has been in Milwaukee for 12 years because they drafted him. They gave him a chance. He grew with the organization, got better, won an MVP, multiple MVPs, won a title. That level of loyalty, even though it's really hard to find in sports, younger players are going to be more willing to do that. Now, this isn't like, let's indoctrinate these players. No, but what I'm saying is like, right? You get a chance, you're 19 years old, and you've spent first like 5 years of your career with an organization, and you're winning, and everybody's growing together, and guys are friends, and they're hanging out. Isn't that what you want? That's what you want as an organization. It's just the starting point is just, yeah, it's tough. But there's nothing worse in the NBA than spinning your tires in the mud of NBA purgatory. You either have to be really bad first to be really great, or once you're really great, you want to stay there. Like the Warriors are going to squeeze out as much as they possibly can of the Steph Curry era. They're going to be back in on Giannis this summer. I promise you that. They already tried. But they've already hit the peak. And it's been about maximizing that era as much as they can. And eventually it's going to be done. And the Warriors will be one of the worst teams in the NBA. And if they trade for Giannis, they'll prolong it a little bit longer. But they're going to lose draft picks and they're going to be really bad for a long time. So you have to go through the suck like the Wizards are going through. But it is the right approach, and it's the first time that they've really truly had this approach. And it's working. It's not perfect. They may end up trading Trae Young in his expiring contract next year because he's going to opt in. His option's $49 million. He's going to opt in. But then he's an expiring contract next year. Do they keep him or do they move him for more picks and realize like the team's winning without him and he's missing time, he's hurt or whatever? That expiring contract is also valuable. So there's a lot of different things they could do. They've given themselves the flexibility. They've given themselves a little bit of a veteran presence, some guys that have been all-stars and, you know, a young team surrounded by that and hopefully a top three pick. And this team's in the play-in tournament bare minimum next year and maybe in the playoffs. I mean, it can turn around that quickly. It's not like the NFL where the Commanders did it worst to first, Patriots did it this year worst to first in the division and all that, but I know technically the Commanders weren't first in the division. They won 12 games. You know what I mean. But when you're able to get to that point in the NBA, you can shoot up real quick, and the East is pretty wide open right now. And it's going to be the same way next year, too. But it's going to also be competitive because the Wizards aren't the only team that has that idea. We'll talk to Dave Johnson at 9:30, the voice of the Wizards. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Talk to Dave Johnson, voice of the Wizards, in 10 minutes. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm at Nick Ashew on, I would say Twitter, but it's so broken now, I can't even use the damn thing anymore. Olympics are everywhere now. It sneaks up on you real quick. I like the Winter Olympics. I don't sit here and pretend I know much about a lot of the sports. I mean, I snowboard, so I like watching the snowboarders, but I also watch them and go, I'd never do anything like that, ever. I know you're watching them right now, Chris. You know what's funny? When I watch even like kids snowboard now, and they're like, you know, they're learning, and you're at all I can think of is they have no fear whatsoever. It's either a kid or it's an Olympic snow. I'm right in the middle where I'm just like, I'm just gonna chill. I'm gonna coast. I'm not really trying to do anything dangerous. Watching what some of these Olympic athletes can do in the snow, on snow and ice, and I'm looking outside now at all this wind everywhere, and it's freezing, and all I can think of is there are people that are doing crazy things on the ice in the snow and in Milan right now, and I want nothing to do with that, but I like watching it.
It's great to watch from the warmth of the indoors.
So much better. You're watching it right now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. I'm watching some guy go backward down a mountain on skis with a bunch of flips and jumps and stuff.
Now, do you have a specific winter sport? Because I feel like the Summer Olympics tend to be more popular. I think it's just because the U.S. is generally better at them. But do you have a winter sport that you actually like watching, or is it more
There's a few I like. Like, I used to play ice hockey, so I love anything with ice hockey.
Well, okay.
It's bummer Ovi's not going to be on. There's no Russian team for Ovi this year, but I'm still going to watch. I love the skeleton. I think it's just an absolutely insane sport.
It is.
I don't know who would do that in their right mind and choose to do that regularly to practice that. That is just insane, but it's real fun to watch from the comfort of my home.
You know, it's funny. Whenever I think of any of those, I still think of Cool Runnings to this day. One of the best movies.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna have to watch Cool Runnings now.
It's a good Winter Olympics movie, yeah.
You know what? Maybe before the Super Bowl tomorrow, because it's going to be just as cold and nasty like this outside, maybe it's a Cool Runnings day. I think that might be what I'll do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could also just have the Olympics on.
Well, yeah, but Cool Runnings is the best. I love that movie. Oh, man. Yeah, that's the thing, is like, it's sports that nobody knows. Like, Britt Giroli, we've done a bunch of shows together, and I was talking to her about it. She's like, I'm going to cover the Olympics for The Athletic, and I don't actually know the sports, except for hockey, but like, there's some, but it's not about knowing the sport necessarily, right? It's about the stories and the athletes and what their background is, and that's what makes it so cool. Like, people that watch any of these shows, let's just put any competition show out there. You could almost put the Winter Olympics, especially, into this category where you start to have that connection with an athlete when you know what their story is. Like American Ninja Warrior, that's a pretty cool show. It's amazing what those athletes can do. But you don't know anything about most of them unless you really follow the show. I don't, but I've watched it plenty. I think it's amazing. You don't really care until you hear what their story is and their background, and that's what creates that emotional connection. And it's the same thing with the Olympics.
Yeah, Lindsey Vonn's leg this year is going to be the big story. If she wins anything like that, oh my God.
She just won a gold, I think, today, right?
I don't know. I haven't even kept up with the medals and stuff yet. I have not kept up with the count. I don't usually keep up with which country has the most medals. And stuff. I'll tell you that.
Yes, so. It looks like she's already won a gold.
How you got to feel getting a silver medal next to someone that just did it without an ACL?
It's unbelievable. Lindsey Vonn's so tough, dude. I mean, her quote here, too, on ESPN.com.
Like she's a Terminator robot under there or something.
Because there's a certain point. That's the tough part about the Olympics, too, is for a lot of these athletes, you don't have a long window. I mean, there's a short window for some of them, and it's like, this is my one chance to do it, and we're going to do it, and that's it. And it's, you know, that's her chance. But, yeah, she does get hurt a lot. And it's dangerous what she does. That downhill skiing, yeah. Again, that's the same
thing.
That's
like shooting down a rocket or something.
It's unbelievable. So. There's zero, like, there's no way, or what's the long jump thing that they're doing? What's that called?
the ski jump or whatever?
Yeah, the big ski jump. I don't know what it's called, but they fly.
You hear the controversy about their costumes this year, their suits that they're wearing?
So is that real, the injections?
I don't know.
Injecting it into their manhood, is that really a thing? I don't know if I believe it. I don't know.
It seems ridiculous. I don't know. It seems like something they won't talk about on NBC if it is real. So,
well, that's the thing is, like, you see this and I'm like, everything's fake. I don't believe anything on the internet anymore. It's too easy to make something fake. So when you see it, I go, they're injecting what into their what? And it makes them fly farther? No way that's real. But allegedly that's a real thing. I don't know enough about it to sit here and be able to describe it to you, but
I'll tell you, I would love to see someone like Wembanyama do the long ski jump, because that guy's like the amount of space he would take up just opening his arms and his big paw hands. Like, just imagine that, dude. The guy weighs like nothing, right? For like how much mass he has. Like,
he would look like a cartoon character.
He already does. His surface area is very large, though. It is. You know?
When Victor Wembanyama dunks, he looks like Michael Jordan in Space Jam stretching out his arm at the end. That's what I think of every time I see it. So, yeah, that would be fun, is to sit here and think of some of these athletes doing a winter Olympic sport, you know, and like what it would look like. Like, what would Jaden Daniels do, right? I don't even know. I don't even have an answer for that.
I mean, he'd be a speed skater. That's what he seems
maybe
like to me.
Yeah, that might work. And maybe something along those lines, like a speed skater. I do want to see Victor Wembanyama now doing something where he's flying through the air.
Yeah.
Maybe Victor Wembanyama doing the half-pipe snowboarding. That would be good. I'm down for that.
No, you got to have a low center of gravity for that.
I know,
no
but
way.
Imagine those arms flailing around, and oh, it'll be great. Well, they'll be going on throughout this. We'll be watching this. All right, Dave Johnson's going to join us next. Anthony Davis met with the organization. He gave a little shout-out on Instagram to the fan base. We'll hear what Dave Johnson, voice of the Wizards, has to say next. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Well, Anthony Davis has officially been seen in front of a Wizards logo. He's talked to the fans. He's been on their Instagram account. He's talked to the front office. He's talked to ownership. Anthony Davis is now officially a Wizard. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Still, it's kind of one of those, what? You know when you have something happen in life, or there's a big moment, and you sleep on it, and you sleep on it again, and it still kind of doesn't feel real because it was such a shocker? And it'd be a good thing, obviously. That's still kind of how this feels. Now, what the immediate versus the long-term looks like are obviously different things, but for now, we know that Anthony Davis is going to be sitting, he's going to be recovering, and we'll figure out the rest of the way from there. Dave Johnson's the voice of the Wizards, jumps on with me now, and I don't know how much of a surprise it was for you. Maybe you knew or had heard some whispers about the Anthony Davis trade, Dave, right before it actually happened, but just your reaction when that Anthony Davis trade finally was made public.
Well, no whispers, and it came as a shock. In fact, I was driving to the airport as we started this road trip. We're in New York today. We played Brooklyn this afternoon. We're on our way to Detroit. So it did, you know, come out of the blue. And look, again, you're kind of shaking your head. This is a 10-time All-Star, a future Hall of Famer, and he's now coming with the Wizards. But I also just think about the past month. You got Trae Young, who's third all-time in assists, and he is now, of course, part of the Wizards. And in both deals, the Wizards did not have to mortgage their future, did not have to give up extensive draft capital. In fact, again, the draft picks that were involved in the Anthony Davis deal were not even Wizards picks. They were picks they picked up in deals with the Thunder and Warriors. And so those are low first-round picks, one from this year for the Thunder, one from 30 for the Warriors. So to me, that's the real head shaker, is it to make these deals happen, and obviously circumstances were involved. But the Wizards, again, when you talk about C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert, they were really never the long-term Wizards plan. So you knew at some point they would probably be used as trade capital. And obviously Chris Middleton, the same thing. The only young player involved in that deal. And, you know, we certainly hope he has a promising NBA career, because a terrific guy is A.J. Johnson. But, again, with a Wizards team where we started this year with 10 players under 22, you're realistically, you can't keep players 10 players that are under 22 forever. So that to me is the head shaker, that the Wizards were able to do these deals, and this does not impact their development of young stars, rising stars, and it does not mortgage the future. You know, Anthony Davis will be, you know, certainly on the court next year for the Wizards, if not sooner. I don't know what his timeline is, but Anthony Davis, and from what we're now seeing, says, hey, he wants to see what the plan is, and of course you want to see what the plan is. But, you know, let's just say that Anthony Davis just plays 1 year in the Wizards, and you know, I'm just throwing out hypotheticals.
Mm-hmm.
You still didn't lose anything, and you still at least had Anthony Davis for 1 year, but it might be longer, because the Wizards' goal is sustained success, and that's what the plan is. I think that's what attracted Trae Young here, because when you see players like Alex Saar and Keyshawn George and how these draft picks are performing, you realize that, yeah, this is a team on the rise. Again, Alex Saar is an NBA elite rim protector in his only second year in the NBA. I mean, these guys are accelerating, I believe, or at least developing, you know, quicker than, I don't know what our expectation on how fast they would develop, but let's just say they're developing, they're getting the NBA game.
And I think, Dave, that's what makes it so amazing is pretty much what you laid out there, is that they were able to get these names and yet at the same time not give up the most important assets they have, of the top-tier young talent they have. And you're right, like, there's a certain point where you can't have a bunch of 20-year-olds and that's it on the roster. You got to be able to grow a little bit. But what I love about this rebuild is there's a strict plan. You can tell that they're executing it. It's working because you're seeing the development of guys like Alex Saar, Keyshawn George. I mean, Trae Johnson in his first year and what he's able to do. Guys hitting shots from the logo, and people are comparing him to Ray Allen, and you're watching it going, oh, this really has some legs here. But they add some guys that have been all-stars. They add a level of flexibility for the offseason, for next year. Like, all of it is not just, hey, we're going to rest ourselves with nothing but young guys. And this is there's a next step that you can kind of starting to see take shape. Now, when it comes to, and I know we're kind of looking down the road a little bit, depending on when Anthony Davis is actually back, but how do you see that working with, whenever that timetable actually is, Anthony Davis and Alex Saar playing next to each other?
Well, If I'm a opposing NBA team, I'm like, oh, great, you know, I'm going to get a paint with those two guys. And so that's again that. And you made the point. Everything they're doing, they're not just throwing darts at a dartboard. From the start, there's been an intentional plan. You need a good defensive spine or structure. So you get an Alex Saar who protects the rim. You get a Bilal Coulibaly who can guard four positions and can help shut down on the perimeter. And by the way, I'll throw as an aside, we're seeing a Jameer Watkins, a second-round pick. How's this going to translate to the NBA? And now he's shutting down Kate, or shutting down, but you know what I'm saying, Kate Cunningham the other night, or getting coming after Coulibaly, getting the top assignment on defense, and more than holding his own. But so everything they've done has been intentional, including, to your point, as you rebuild a team, it's not like a light switch where you say, well, you know, we're going to let these all young guys play, and then all of a sudden we'll flick a switch and we'll add a couple of veterans, and then we'll go for the playoffs. The way these guys are playing, you need to now start to surround them with elite level talent to help not only help the team, but by helping the team. If you surrounded Alex Saar, et cetera, with Trae Young and Anthony Davis, then suddenly they become better, even better than they are right now. So that's the point. This is also, not only is it looking at the long-term goal of sustained success, it's accomplishing the immediate goal of making this young core better. If suddenly they're playing with two future Hall of Famers, or however you want to describe them, they're going to get better faster, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, even guys like a Will Riley who had 20 against Detroit in that win. I mean, this is a sneaky team that has very – and one of the cool things, at least in this moment for this team, I've been really saying this all year to people, is like they may not win a lot of games right now. They're all kids, but they – have very low pressure on them. It's about going out and developing and getting the minutes and getting the opportunity to grow. You know, one of the things I've always been adamant about with any team, Dave, and talking to Dave Johnson, your voice of the Wizards, when you're building a young team and you have a lot of homegrown players, they grow together. They build a level of chemistry and they build just kind of this feeling of like we're all in this together. And I really kind of see that starting to develop now, where it's more than just, hey, we're here and we're trying to build our careers. It really kind of starts to look like at this point now, we're getting a lot of chemistry and we're getting a culture within this. Very young and still a long way to go, but you're starting to see something grow here that feels like more than just a bunch of young guys on a roster, Dave.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. And that's what, you know, when people will look at the record and say, oh, wow, this team must be, you know, difficult. No, it's not difficult to be around. It's great to be around. It makes you feel young again because, you know, you can see the bright lights in their eye. They're not jaded. They're not, they're just hooping and they want to hoop together. And they're, you know, I think I did a bit with Bob Carrington and some season ticket holders. And they are just having fun because they are in this together. And I think, you know, to all our listeners, and we can all feel what it's like when we're young and you're with your buddies and you're trying to make it happen, whether it's a startup business or you know, a club in school but there's that youthful energy that that bond that forms that, like, wow, we get to be a part of making something happen. And not everybody gets that. You know, sometimes if you're a draft pick, a young player, you come to an established team. You and your teammates are not necessarily writing the signature on the team. You're just trying to fit in. These guys are not trying to fit in. These guys are together building the mold of the Wizards' future.
Dave, how crazy was this trade deadline besides the Wizards? I mean, it was just player after player after player getting traded, man.
Yeah, no. It shows you also about and we got to know him a bit in D.C. and a great pro and a great guy, Malachi Branham. You know, he was part of the deal that, you know, goes to the Mavericks, and then all of a sudden we see him traded to Charlotte. So, you know, that's life in the NBA. But it was a very busy time. There was a lot of deals announced. It seemed like, to me anyway, I don't have any facts to back this up, there was more happening. You know, I think we used to see deals announced at, you know, 3:45 before the trade deadline or something, and a lot of things seem to happen a day before. And I don't know if that's a product of, you know, a year ago Mark Williams trade, you know, the Hornets and Lakers getting wiped out, or people want to get their business done early. But there's a lot of shakeup in the NBA when you're talking about, you know, a Giannis being, I mean, the Bucks are not that far removed from winning the title, for goodness sakes. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's mentioned as a trade possibility. And really, we just saw the Clippers twice, and they were the hottest team in the NBA. And then James Harden ends up in Cleveland. So, and there's some great stories about how, you know, that was obviously coming for a long time, that he had wanted an extension in L.A. and they didn't want to give it to him. So, you know, there's lots of factors, both player philosophy and team philosophy, involved. And again, to bring it back to the Wizards, I don't think, you know, Anthony Davis probably didn't see. Look, this came out of the blue, but Anthony Davis, you know, wisely said, "Hey, I want to compete for a title." Well, that's what the Wizards want to do. You know, do the timelines match? That's what we have to see.
Put in perspective for us, Dave, what it's like on players, though, because I think a lot of people just forget, like, these are real people with real lives, and their destinies sometimes aren't in their hands in terms of where their career is going to be. Like, when you're around that trade deadline, what is kind of the mood for players, knowing that there's a lot of stuff up in the air, especially when you have surprise trades like this?
Well, I think, you know, I can think of past years. I remember specifically, and I can't even remember who ended up getting the trade with the Wizards, but I just remember we were in New Orleans, and we went to the shoot-around, and it was trade deadline day, and then you go back to the hotel before the game, and, you know, as you go back, it was almost, I don't want to say dark humor, but people are like, well, you know, is the phone going to ring? And there is some anxiety, because you're right. No matter how much you get paid, it doesn't matter. They're still all human beings. You still have to live. You still have to have your clothes someplace. You still have to, you know, a place to stay. If one minute you're living in D.C. and the next minute they say you're going to Dallas, you know, that's a big adjustment. This year, to bring it to, again, it's, they're not robots, they're personalities. Quite frankly, initially when, the word was that, even though you know it's a possibility, that Chris Middleton was traded, I think there was some sadness among players because, well, wait a minute, he was our mentor. He was our big brother. He was looking out for us. He was, he was a guy that was, at his stage of his career, he was just wonderful in terms of imparting wisdom on his young players. So, again, a basketball team is just like any workplace. Think if you're, if all of a sudden your favorite coworker is, you know, left, there's a void. But there's a business and games to go on, and you have to keep going. But, you know, yeah, there's emotions involved.
All right, Wizards at the Nets, coverage today at 2:45 right here on The Fan. Dave Johnson, voice of the Wizards. Great to talk to you, man. Thanks for coming on.
Always appreciate it, Nick. Thanks so much.
Yeah, and it's there's a different mood around this Wizards team, I'm telling you. And it's, you know, I always say this, and I'll keep saying it, man. D.C.'s a hoops town, too. People love basketball, high school, college, the NBA. It's just when there's a feeling of hope like there is now, people understand this is a rebuild, but the direction is going in the right way. And that's the difference versus some teams where you see, and look, listen, this team in the past sat there and gone, there's no, what's the plan? You're a Modern Family fan. What's the plan, Phil? Right? There is a plan here, and you can see it, and it's, you still got to keep going. You got to keep building on it. It doesn't just stop. You can't just sit here and say, well, you know, we got a bunch of young guys and now some all-stars. No, it's got to keep building from here. But I'll tell you what, the Wizards got the number one overall pick with all that they've done. Woo-hoo! I mean, the momentum will be real. It'll be real with them. Nick Ashew on The Fan.
We're the fans. What's up? It's AD here. Just touched down in the city, touring the arena right now. Going to check out the facility. So excited to be here. Can't wait to get started.
That was Anthony Davis on the Wizards Instagram account. Thanks to Dave Johnson, voice of the Wizards, who joined us last segment. Coverage of Wizards Nets will start at 2:45 later today here on The Fan. If you're listening on 980, well, that's what you got to jump over to. We're simulcast right now as that goes. Oh, look, Anthony Davis under contract for a couple of years here. They don't have to worry about extension because there are some reports out there from Chris Mannix that he was not happy about the trade at first. And look, he's not going to be that dude to go out there and say, like, if you're Anthony Davis at this point, you're hurt, you're not playing right now, it doesn't really matter. But he's bounced around a bunch now. His career has been completely out of his control. And, you know, it's when you get to a point where you're later in your career, because Anthony Davis will be 33 in a little over a month, and he's dealt with a lot of injuries. But when he is healthy, he's one of the best bigs in the NBA. That being said, when you get to that point where you hit your 30s in the NBA, and in any professional sport, you're starting to think about how much longer you're playing, what that looks like, and where you're going to be. His goal, obviously, is getting a title. I mean, he got a title with the Lakers. Some people don't credit that title. I do, but it is what it is with people, so just deal with it. This is what his thought process is going to be, and the Wizards are in a spot where next year they're pushing for the playoffs. Does that work for Anthony Davis? I mean, they could legitimately move him again this offseason. He may not actually play for this team, right? I mean, that's a possibility. Trae Young, pick up his option, might be a movable expiring contract next year. They got flexibility with what they did, and they didn't give up any of their top young players, didn't give up their own draft picks. Were late first-round picks, and you know they're in a spot here where you can at least look at the Wizards and say they're doing something that makes sense and they have a plan, because people accept rebuilds when there's a plan. Late first round picks can sacrifice that. Gave up very little for Trae Young. You can sacrifice that, right? Young core stays intact. Cool. That's what everybody wants. Chance it's still a top lottery pick. Everything, you still check in the boxes one by one by one for them, where it really feels like a low risk, high reward stretch of the last month for the Wizards. I mean, it really does. You're not committed long-term to Trae Young unless you want to be. You're looking at Anthony Davis, and you know you got big money on the contract moving forward, but there is still a chance that he could, like, next year, let's just play a hypothetical. Anthony Davis is healthy for the first month of the season, and this team decides, you know what, let's sell while it's hot. Let's move him to a contender that really wants him. We get some more picks, and they're still good enough where they can get to at least the play-in tournament. That's progress for the Wizards. That's progress for a young team. And they're then getting back more assets because this front office, right, you have, there is a background with the Thunder, and the Thunder are now a public model that everybody can see. That's the blueprint where if you really want to rebuild a team and it's not through free agency and it's through the draft, it's continuing to pile up assets. The Thunder have a chance to have a top pick in this draft with the Clippers pick. I mean, that's, they're just going to have endless amounts of assets. But having those assets only matters if you do something with it. You've got to be able to identify that young talent. And it's not always going to hit. Not every trade, not every draft pick is going to work. It is a guarantee in sports. Not every one of them is going to hit. But you've got guys at different positions now that are showing they can be something very good, if not great, down the road. Alex Saar and his development, Keyshawn George, Trey Johnson, Bub Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, maybe not on the same degree as some of those guys, but they're maybe one notch below at this moment, but that could also change too. It's the guys that put in the work. It's the guys that take the time in the offseason to really get better, and some of it is just natural ability that's there, and it's system and how they're used and the minutes and who they play alongside, all those things. And some of that's the figuring out process with this now. That's what this is. And again, look, you're going to watch a lot of losses, but you're also going to watch nights where they go and beat the Pistons. You go, oh, okay. Young, scrappy team, but you just can't be that young, scrappy team forever. Got to get to a point where you're also then taking that next step and taking that next jump. And listen, Anthony Davis is going to be thinking about his future. There's no question. The reports are right now that there's likely not, you know, maybe going to be an extension talk right now. And really, there shouldn't be an extension talk. Why? You've got him locked up for a couple of years. You've got him locked up for $58 million for the 26-27 season. The next year is a $63 million player option that'll expire in 2028. And why? Why would you talk extension? That's a lot of money already to begin with. The cap's going to go up. They got the space, all that. You just don't have to. It's really about the long-term growth of this team. And this is something that, you know, the Commanders need to take notes on too, right? Because it's not just about win now. It's about having guys on the roster, young talent that grows that's going to be here long-term. And leagues are different, and obviously the all of the financials are very different from the NFL to the NBA, but that's how you want to build a team, because it's, if you just want to be a firework, we've seen that with the Commanders, right? We've seen that in previous organization, or I guess we could say front offices and ownership groups, right? We've seen the let's go out and sign all these free agents and spend a bunch of money. It doesn't work. Sometimes it does. A lot of times it doesn't, especially when you have no culture. There's no loyalty there. And again, loyalty is a fleeting thing, and it's mostly for fans in sports. But when you do have young guys that come up with an organization, there is a level of, hey, this is the team that gave me a shot. This is the team that drafted me. This is where I'm used to. This is where my whole career has been. And that matters. And not every young guy that's on this roster now is going to stay. There might be a chance this offseason where the Wizards can get themselves a star, and they've got to sacrifice a Keyshawn George in a trade or a Bilal Coulibaly or somebody along those lines. There's a chance that happens. But they have the flexibility to be able to do all those things. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Anthony Davis, though. Trae Young's a little bit younger, 27. Still early in his career, where he might just be thinking about, where can I get the extension? More importantly, where can I solidify myself financially? Anthony Davis has made a lot of money. Is his priority win now, win championship now, or grow with this team? Do the timelines match up, as Dave Johnson said last segment? So I think that's something to really, really keep in mind with this, is this still could look very different this offseason with this team. But the Wizards are clearly making it a point that they're not just going to stay young team forever that doesn't make any progress. They're aggressive enough to go and make some progress and give themselves flexibility. It has been a very, very good stretch for this team overall. Nick Ashew on the Fan.